Hello, and welcome to the newest episode of Walnut Grovecast. Walnut Grovecast needs your support, so please head over to patreon.com/walnutgrovecast to find out what cool stuff you get for as little as 17 cents a day. Yes, only 17 cents a day gets you some amazing stuff. Thank you so much for your support. Walnut Grove is a place to be. If you live in 1863. Grovecast. My name is Mark. I'm still not perfecting the art of doing this intro. All right. So with all of my other podcasts, I have a produced intro. With Walnut Grovecast, I don't have a produced intro. I don't understand why I'm not just doing it. On the line tonight, I have Dottie Cashin. How are you doing, Dottie?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
And Dottie, you're a fan of this Michael Landon production Little House on the Prairie, right?
Yes.
And how long have you watched Little House on the Prairie? Like, have you always been a fan, or is this something new to you?
I've actually watched it since I was about 9 or 10, mm-hmm. and I'm 18 now, and so about 10 years.
Wow. And why did you kind of start, did you find the books first, or did you find the books after, or at all, or, what attracted you to the show?
I actually watched, I think it was season 2 first, because I got it from one of my friends, mm-hmm. and then I started collecting the rest and just started watching them.
Yeah, it's kind of addictive once you kind of find, one episode. Do you remember the first episode that kind of pulled you in?
I think it was actually the camp out, but I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
At least, it's probably the more lighthearted ones that really kind of pull you in and go, all right, you know what, maybe it's not all just misery and...
Yeah.
People throwing babies through the glass and it's just awful. So I reached out to you and I tricked you into coming on to the show to review an episode that was released way before you were born. Mm-hmm. This was released on January 19th of 1981. And what is the name of this episode?
We are doing The Nephews from Season 7, Episode 14.
I hated this episode when I first saw it. No, when I first saw it. I don't know why. For some reason, this was in a heavy rotation when it was kind of in syndication. And I don't understand why I disliked it, because this time around, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a really funny... I think this is... I've been saying it a lot, almost too often... that I think that this would be a very good first episode for somebody.
Yeah, and it's very comedic, too.
Yeah, and plus you get to see kind of a little bit more of a feisty Laura, even though I would have wished that we could see a little bit more of one.
Yeah.
Because she was definitely holding back.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a character right off the bat. We get Royal Wilder, who has fancy doors and... do we know what Royal's career was or is?
I'm not actually sure, but I know they used two different Royals for this one in season 9.
Mm-hmm. I've seen this guy around. This guy was a character actor. And, he definitely made the, what was his name? His name was Woody Ine. And mm-hmm. he's had a huge career of just being a character actor. I think he pulled it off really well. His house is one of the nicest I've ever seen in Little yeah. House. And they even have a fern, which is maybe...
Oh, yeah, I noticed that, too.
It's like, it's like 1881 and you have a plant indoors. Very fancy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can see right away that they have serious money. I mean, mm-hmm. he even reads a newspaper. And he has two children who I thought were twins at first. I don't know why, but
I thought that too. And then she's like, mine was born first.
Yeah. So I'm going to play a first clip here of, how do I put this? It's bad parenting.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, I knew this was bad parenting.
Yeah.
And now as a parent, I see people treating their kids exactly the same way that Royal is and his wife are treating his two children. What are their names? Myron and Rupert.
Yeah.
You want to torture. Maybe that was it. They're like, you know what? We'll torture them by naming them very strangely. So, here's the opening clip of the kind of parenting that personally does not really work for me. And I'm even going to play the clip because, let's see, I'm not getting audio.
Rupert, please don't choke me.
Royal, I got you, Dad.
Rupert, no, don't do that.
Royal? You know you're not supposed to say no to the boys. It stunts their creative growth.
But...
Royal!
Okay, you can choke me. you know, dear, I've been thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we could take a little vacation?
Oh, I'd love to get away from all this noise and chaos.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
I'm gonna get you!
We can get away from the boys for a few days.
Get away from the boys? Why would we want to leave our boys?
To get away from the noise and chaos?
Of the city, Royal. It's the city we need a vacation from, not our boys. Rupert! Are you having fun, sweetheart?
Yeah, Mom!
Oh, my God. What would happen to you as a kid if you were acting like this?
She'd probably say, go to your room, you're getting a spanking.
Right. It's like, most people would not get away with this type of thing.
Yeah.
So we see, like, they're kind of pushover parents, and it's cute enough. It's great for, like, 2 days. Mm-hmm. So, Rupert has... Royal has a great idea. Why don't we try to leave the kids with somebody and go away? So after breaking the vase or whatever that was, his wife, who I'm forgetting her name, says...
Millie?
What? I'm sorry, Millie?
Yeah.
Okay. So Millie and Royal. Millie says, well, you know what? Maybe we could use a little bit of a break. But who would be dumb enough, really, to... I don't know. Who would be dumb enough in the whole world to really do this? I was going to go right to the clip of who it is going to be. I'm going to jump to a different clip of it, which I think explains a little bit more of what's going on. This might be a little bit of an overlap of a different scene that I can explain in a minute.
Laura! Guess what?
What?
Royal and Millie are coming for a visit.
When will they be here?
Tomorrow or the next day. They're on the road now.
Tomorrow?
And they're bringing their boys. Where are you going?
Clean up. This place is going to need a lot of work before it's ready for company. You start, of course.
Okay. So, yeah, they're getting the homestead ready. What did you think of this so far? I mean, the just kind of showing up in a couple days.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't start cleaning right away, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, before that scene, what we had was Almanzo looking for Caroline. She goes into the restaurant and sees Harriet with her grandchildren. This is a kind of a rarity. I don't think that they're in here very often.
I was wondering why Almanzo was looking for Caroline and not Laura.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of strange, too, but maybe it was just he knew that she would be at home and Caroline would be at the restaurant.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see if I can. I didn't clip this, but we get to hear why these kids are so hungry.
Mm-hmm.
After his father.
Well, here we go.
The family is tall and imposing.
My little Benjamin sure does eat fast.
Oh, yes. Well, he's Jewish, you know.
I didn't know being Jewish. give you such a big appetite. But it's just, I always hear these lines and I think this is like a Michael Landon Easter egg in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
No pun intended on Easter. But so I thought that it's kind of funny the way she is. We get a big comedic scene where the baby spit milk into Harriet's face. And
yeah, that was kind of strange.
I don't think we see Harriet again, right? Harriet's not in the rest of the episode.
I don't think so. I think that's her only part.
Yeah, we barely get to see Charles in this one. This one's like real. So they're getting the whole place ready, the Wilder homestead. And what a great time for Almanzo to bring up that their beautiful, clean house that they have time to enjoy should be overtaken by children.
Yep.
Peer in and listen to what the Wilders have to say.
I don't see why you're so stubborn on the subject.
I've already told you why. Now, I want to teach for at least 2 more years until we have a working farm.
We don't have to have a farm to have children.
I'd have to give up teaching to stay home and take care of
them. No, you wouldn't. Now, I'd help out.
Manly.
I would. Now, we can share the responsibilities equally.
It's not that easy.
Just wait till Royal and Millie get here. You'll see how easy it is to have a family.
Oh,
you'll just see.
Okay.
Fine. All right.
It's so cute.
Yeah. And I actually grew up with 5 brothers and 3 sisters.
Oh, my goodness. So 9 total?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And where do you fall in that?
I'm number 6.
Number 6. No, but I think that's also kind of awesome, you know, to have such a large family. I'm the youngest of 5.
Oh, yeah.
But the age difference varied pretty wildly in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so when you look back at this, do you think, like, you know, there's this moment of time where your parents didn't have this family?
And oh, I don't know.
A moment of peace, maybe. <Yeah. laughs> you know, so it's kind of, you know, for them to even be discussing the family aspect of it is kind of very not 1881.
Yeah.
And it would just be assumed that they would have a child as soon as possible and then follow up with yet another. So, but you know, we have to have those squabbles. It is 1981 after all. And I don't know. We just have to have that. So we have a picnic lunch that the other Wilders are having as they're on their way towards the Wilder farm. I also noticed this must be a popular picnic area because mm-hmm. in the background, there's another couple who are.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was kind of strange. I guess, you know, I never really thought of national parks or anything like that. Or like, what are the chances you run into another couple while traveling to Minnesota?
Mm-hmm. So I thought that could be like a rest stop too.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe there's a specific scenic area. Not really sure. This is kind of interesting because we get a little bit of information that Royal has a little bit of a plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Still don't see how you're going to convince Almanzo and Laura to keep the boys.
I told you, I have a plan.
No, right over here.
Boys, come eat your lunch.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't yell at them, dear.
It's insane.
I know. And her voice is really cringy, too.
Yeah, it's like, you know, dear, you know.
Yeah.
She reminds me of Madeline Kahn doing this character. I don't know if you ever watched Madeline Kahn, a comedian who died just a few years ago. But she was really popular at the time. And she definitely was able to do these type of things, but do them like very adding so much comedy to it. It's very mm-hmm. funny. And she actually, this woman actually looks a little bit like Madeline Kahn. So, all right. So he's going to basically make a deal with the kids. I'll let it play through. Fast forward a little. this is a very visual episode. That's another thing mm-hmm. that I want to try my best to avoid. But
dirty trick.
I've got a deal to make with you.
What kind of a deal?
It's a contest, really. How long do you think you two can go without yelling or chasing each other?
How long? Depends.
If you can be quiet and polite the whole time you're at Almanzo and Laura's, I'll give you each a shiny new nickel. Indian head.
Indian head! A nickel to stay quiet for the whole trip.
That's right.
Make it a silver dollar and you've got a deal.
A silver dollar? All right.
Now, what kind of shyster gives your child a nickel?
I know. I think my dad would have ever done that.
Would pay you off?
Yeah, like bribe and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think most people shouldn't have had to do this. But yeah. A dollar back then is equivalent to about $25 now.
Mm-hmm.
A nickel, though, would have been, let's see. Not even coming up in this inflation calculator. So anyway, if it's $25, I mean, you're talking maybe, what, a dollar? Maybe? It's really just an insignificant amount of money. So kind of hilarious that that the child, like, calls him out, but says, all right, but you have to share the silver dollar, and that'll be it. So it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nowadays a silver dollar is not worth, it's worth quite a bit more than a dollar, but I'm not really sure what an ounce of silver was back then, like a troy ounce. Now I think it's like, you can get like maybe $22 or something like that. You could buy. So what do we have next? Yeah, they're on their way, and they do finally make the deal, which I think it's kind of cute. And they finally get to the Wilders area. They get, hold on, I'm just... All right, so they get there, and Almanzo is helping unpack and all of this stuff. They seem to have actually packed pretty heavily for mm-hmm. this. Especially since they were only kind of coming and hanging out for a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
So Millie and I thought, what better way to take a second honeymoon than a riverboat trip?
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Of course, it'd be even better, thank you, Laura, if the two of us could go alone. Of course, we didn't want to leave the boys home with just any old sitter.
No, of course not.
Thank you, Laura.
Quick shot.
I have a great idea.
Uh-oh.
Why don't you leave the boys here with us?
Gosh, that'd be awfully nice of you, but we couldn't impose.
No imposition. Is it, Laura?
No imposition at all.
We're going to have a wonderful time together, aren't we, fellas? Hmm?
Yeah.
Eat up those cookies. Your Aunt Laura makes great cookies. Mm. Okay.
Laura just looks and she can smell danger.
Yeah, Laura's face was hilarious in that scene.
Now, I put myself into situations like this pretty often where, for instance, I had, about 3 years ago, we had one dog. We had a Maltese, and we still have that dog.
Oh, so, that's what we have, too.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. What is your dog's name?
Oh, we named it Oliver, and we call him Ollie.
Oh, really? Yeah. My dog's name is Yoki.
Oh.
And, but Yoki is, he's kind of like, you know, he was the only dog we had. He was a Maltese, and he's probably the best dog I've ever had in my whole life. So we were over at my sister-in-law's house, and she has these two teacup poodles, which are, you know, very cute, and they're like half the size of Yoki.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, this one is, you know, terrible and barks, and, you know, and it's like a jet black dog, and, you know, the dog would pee everywhere and just do all these, you know, just not listen. So mm-hmm. I felt, and I still feel like I'm pretty good with dogs. And I can usually kind of snap them out of it. And she was like really frustrated with this dog. And she's like, I don't know. I'm going to find a different owner. So I'm like, I'll take him, you know? So we now have that dog living here. And that dog's name, we did not name that dog Toodles.
Oh.
So it's Yoki and Toodles. So just a couple weeks ago, my sister-in-law asked if she could bring the other dog here so that they can make babies, so to speak. Oh. And because they've done it before and I don't know, my sister-in-law is kind of nutty. And So now I have three dogs in the house. And this other one is called Fifi. And it's a very foo-foo dog. It's a very, you know, so I have these three dogs that are just crazy. And Yogi is the only one who's truly
normal.
Yeah. But you know what? I've noticed that it's Toodles who actually is a lot more normal than I thought he was. So he's really come a long way. Like, he doesn't do bad things anymore. But Fifi is a mess. This dog is so stupid. But I'm trying. I'm trying my best to put up with her.
My sister's dogs are kind of crazy, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm glad you have a Maltese. That's good.
Yeah.
My wife has always had Malteses, so this is the first male one that she ever had.
We actually thought he was a golden doodle at first, and then we took him to the vet the other day, and they're like, no, he's a Maltese.
Oh.
So.
If you hear a plane going over, I live about 20 minutes from JFK Airport. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why. So, all right, let's get back to 1881. We are at the point where the riverboat trip is on, and Almanzo is a complete sucker. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yeah, now, here we go.
Take care of the dishes. Now the boys can walk with you to school.
School?
Yeah, it's right. It's important for children to go to school.
We'd love to go to school, but we can't.
You can't?
No, sir. Our school at home's on vacation, and if we learn stuff here, we'd get real confused.
You're on vacation.
Laura's like, I don't want these kids near me. So I really
I don't want them in my class.
Right. And it's just so dismissive. It makes no sense. And you can just tell they're full of it. Now, the one, I don't know which one is which, but the kid who is to the right of Almanzo.
I think that's Rupert.
So he's the one who has the bigger career. I don't know if you've seen him in different movies.
No.
Oh, really? All right. So he was in a lot of things. Like, he was a kid who's on a lot of TV shows, Fantasy Island, and all types of things. But he has, did you ever see the movie Airplane?
I don't think so.
All right. This is a little bit of a risque scene that I'm going to play, but it's essentially the same kid in the cockpit with these pilots. So I'm just going to play the clip. It's probably one of the most famous scenes in Airplane. And it's very, it's just funny to see him because he's almost, I'm going to say, this was probably filmed at around the same time. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Ever been in a cockpit before?
No, sir. I've never been up in a plane before.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Do you want me to check the weather, Clarence?
No, why don't you take care of it? Joey, do you ever hang around the gymnasium?
So he's like he's like kind of like a creepy old man.
Yeah.
That's why he's asking. And the other pilot is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the famous basketball player. And the dialogue that they have together is just very funny.
You better get back now, Joey.
No, Joey can stay here for a while if you'd like.
Could I? Okay, if you don't get in the way.
Flight 209er to Denver Radio. Climbing to cruise at 42,000. We'll report again over Lincoln. Over and out.
Wait a minute. I know you. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You play basketball for the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm sorry, son, but you must have me confused with someone else. My name is Roger Murdoch. I'm the co-pilot.
You are Kareem. I've seen you play. My dad's got season tickets.
I think you should go back to your seat now, Joey. Bye, Clarence.
Oh, he's not bothering anyone. Let him stay here.
All right, but just remember, my name is Roger Murdoch. I'm an airline pilot.
I think you're the greatest, but my dad says you don't work hard enough on defense. And he says that lots of times you don't even run down court. And that you don't really try, except during the playoffs.
The hell I don't. Listen, kid. I've been hearing that crap ever since I was at UCLA. I'm out there busting my buns every night. Tell your old man to drag Walton and Lanier up and down the court for 48 minutes.
So it's one of the more popular scenes from the movie. And it's hard to take a movie like this and play it out of context. But if you should really see an Airplane. It's a hilarious movie. It's very tongue in cheek and very very campy. But all right, so anyway, so he was in a lot of different TV shows and stuff. And I think he even worked into recently. But anyway, let's get back into the whole thing. All right, so since they're going to be staying home with Almanzo, the plan has to be that Almanzo has to entertain them. So here we go.
What are we going to do first?
You kill some birds.
Birds? Rupert, birds are beautiful creatures. We love to watch them fly and hear them sing. Why do you want to kill them?
So we can open them up and see their guts.
And they're insane. So.
Yeah, when he said open them up and see their guts, I'm like, that is such a boy thing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think I've ever done that, though. Thankfully. Never tortured innocent animals. So.
Oh, good.
We, well, you know, I still have time. So. We get a little bit of a sampling of the type of kids these are, but here's one of the sampling.
Myron, will you stop that? Rupert, are you all right?
My bedroll!
Well, as long as you're not hurt. Myron, will you please stop jumping?
You didn't tell me to stop forever.
Myron! Will you stop jumping forever, please? Myron, why don't you run down to the barn and get your Uncle Monzo a hammer and a handful of nails? Okay?
He walks really slow. They're just like real brats. Like, they're like, oh my God.
I think Myron is my favorite, though.
Is Myron? Is Myron the one with the blue eyes? Or
he's the one that walks out the door to get the nails.
Okay. He's the one who looks like, I forget his first name, Bonaducci from Partridge Family.
Oh, I think Rupert actually looks like Cameron Boyce from Disney Channel.
I don't know who that is. We're different generations here. All right, so what do we have? We have him going outside to get the nails and taking pretty much forever. And Amanda's trying to fix the bed and just getting a little frustrated here.
Rupert, would you mind giving your Uncle Monzo a hand, please? Here's your brother.
Uncle Monzo! Help! Help! Help!
What is it? Are you hurt? What happened?
I can't find the hammer.
You can't find the hammer? Myron, Rupert, did you ever hear the story about the boy who cried wolf?
Yes.
Well, you understand it's very important that you don't call for help unless you really need it. Otherwise, people will stop believing you and won't come when you call. Now, do you understand that?
Yeah, but I can't find the hammer.
You can't find the hammer.
And again, this is a very physical episode. So he finds the hammer. It's right exactly where Byron threw it, or Myron.
Yeah.
And as Almanzo's walking out, he trips over a rope. Hilarious. Mm-hmm. These kids would just not be alive normally.
Yeah.
They're total pranksters, which is. I would have liked to see more of them interacting with the other kids of the township. Mm-hmm. I would have liked to see Albert.
I think they only go to the town when it's the church time.
Yeah.
I remember.
And in the church, you know, you think like it's a sacred place, like you're not going to mess around.
Yeah.
No, no, not at all. So finally, it's time to get serious. Well, let's see. Laura comes home and she's like, are you taking a nap? It's So I'll just play that.
Hi.
Taking a little nap?
No, I'm taking a little break.
Where are the boys?
Well, they're going to put on a little play for us. They're upstairs putting on their costumes.
A play?
Yeah, they're real creative. I guess that's the word.
So what we're going to see is something we wouldn't see on television anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously we live in such a strange culture that you can't even do certain things like this. But in 1981, it wasn't that uncommon to see people portraying Native Americans in kind of a stereotypical way. So it's not that is shocking. It's the fact that they're covered in feathers, and they mm-hmm. learn that what they had done to get these feathers is they'd pulled them off of their chickens. Excuse me. Do you know anything about chickens? I'm just kind of curious.
We used to have chickens.
Do they need their feathers for anything but warmth?
I don't know. I know they take them off whenever you try and like cook them and stuff.
Well, yeah.
So.
So I'm not really sure precisely why. I mean, they look stupid. The chickens look strange. But at the same time, it's just kind of strange how, it's not like they killed the chickens and then plucked them.
I'm wondering if they grow back, like their feathers.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious now. I don't know enough about the world of poultry farming.
Yeah.
So it's time to get a little serious. So what happens is, here we go. We have Almanzo taking them upstairs, and he's going to give them a little bit of a piece of his mind. And I think every viewer is also one thing that is kind of interesting. If you look at the room is just getting more and more messy as time goes mm-hmm. on. The dresser door drawers are all open and things are thrown everywhere. The picture on the wall is crooked. All right, so here we go.
Boys, I want you to take off your costumes and get ready for bed.
But what about our supper?
I'm afraid you're going to have to go to bed without any supper tonight. You've got to be punished for pulling the feathers off those chickens.
But you didn't tell us we couldn't pull the feathers off the chickens.
He just walks out of the room dumbfounded.
Yeah.
He's like, where do I even begin?
I think every child has tried to put on a play for their family.
Yeah, I think I've done this type of thing, but I don't think I've went and tried to get feathers from them. Yeah. Hey, they have a fern in their area as well, I just noticed.
Oh.
What about the Wilders and ferns? I mean, that's the same fern. And almost no decorations on the wall. Very strange, this hallway.
Yeah.
But it is kind of, I like Almanzo's face here, and he goes downstairs. I think Laura is starting to smell a rat.
Oh.
And let me just get to that.
There. How's that taste to you, boy? Okay. There.
I just had choking. I'm sorry. I'm going to edit out. I normally never edit, but I just took a sip of water.
Oh.
And it went down the wrong pipe. So hold on. Even though we're recording right now, this is all going to, hold on. Sorry about that.
Sorry, you're fine.
Because I skipped over that entire thing where he said he's dead. Where are we? No, I'm looking at my list. I'm sorry. 2018.
Yeah, that's what mine says too.
All right. So let me just jot down this. With 34 minutes in. Also, you can talk a lot more. Don't interrupt me if you want to say. Don't feel compelled to either. I just feel like I can easily dominate the conversation, mm-hmm. but don't let me. You know, okay. Jump in when you want and do it as many times as you want.
Okay.
I'll pick up right here from the edit. So Almanzo comes and he's eating his food. And I don't know what they're eating. What do you think they're eating? It's like some type of goulash or stew?
It kind of looks like beef stew almost, maybe.
But it's such a small amount, right? It's like 4 ounces or something. What do you... saving it? It's like you're making it stretch. So here we are. Almanzo is going to start eating.
Uncle Manzo! Something's wrong with Myron. I think he's dead. Really?
So he goes in and he's on the floor making believe he was passed out and saying that
dramatic.
If he skips a meal, he can get really sick. And I think the worst part about this is that Almanzo believes it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say Almanzo. I want to say Almanzo, but...
Almanzo sounds so much better.
but I'm going to point out that somebody actually in this episode says Almanzo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an Easter egg, I think.
And Harriet says Zaldamo in this episode, too.
Yeah, that's always funny. I think that that's a nice... that always makes me laugh. Yeah, so he runs down because he's not supposed to skip a meal. And I think that Laura is starting to sense that she's married to a sucker.
About food, doctor's orders.
And what are these, like, little muffins? Like, it's just the weirdest food that they're serving here.
I know, it didn't even look like cornbread or, like, biscuits at all.
No, it looks like chocolate chip mini muffins?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's a nice cast iron pan that she has, but they're doubled up, if you notice. I don't know what's going on with the Wilders. If she's been spending all day making this meal, she needs to go and spend more time with Ma. Ma can throw a steak on.
Yep.
So they're preparing to bring it up, and they're going to serve them their dinner in their room. he goes in there almost like a doctor feeding him because he hasn't eaten in 15 minutes.
And Laura actually puts enough in there for two, and actually Myron was the only one that
failed. Yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. It's like, why are they feeding both if only one is sick, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Here we go.
It's cold. Not very hungry.
Manly, I'm not so sure that Myron really fainted. I think the boys are just doing this to see how fast they can get you to come running.
No. No, I told them the story of the boy who cried wolf. They're not doing that.
I could have sworn I saw her mouth, idiot. It's just, I think it's sweet and it's nice that he wants to do everything correctly. And maybe this is the way even I was before I was a parent. And, you want everything to be perfect. And I spoke to them, and they heard me. And you just don't want to make these kind of mistakes.
Yeah.
So we go to the other Wilders who are on a raft or something.
They're always on that raft.
Is this their vacation? What do you think about this? I mean, this is crazy.
I know. They do that like 2 days in a row.
I wouldn't want to do this for 10 minutes.
I know. It looks kind of boring, too.
I mean, he seems to be... I mean, it looks like just like a raft that they made. And he's steering it with the stick.
I've never seen that before, either.
What is it, like whitewater rafting or something? It could be dangerous. I mean,
yeah,
they have no life preservers on. It's just the craziest thing. And he has one of those like 1920s bathing suits on.
The white and blue.
And she's just wearing a house dress. I don't really understand.
It kind of looked like a nightgown at first.
So it's just, it's a very weird thing. And this is a little bit of a noisy clip, but it gives you an idea of how relaxing, I guess, they think.
The background music.
Yeah. Well, the background music in this entire episode is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's really funny. It's lighthearted.
Darling, what's wrong?
Nothing.
Well, something's wrong. Now, come on. What is it?
I miss the boys. I wish they were here.
I wish they were here, too, dear.
Do you?
No, I don't. I'm not going to lie about them. I'm glad they're not here.
Royal, how can you say that? Your own boy.
Lily, please. I love the boys, but I need this vacation. Without them, just you and I. Remember, this was supposed to be our second honeymoon.
I know. I'm sorry. I won't mention the boys again. A second honeymoon. Do you remember our honeymoon?
How could I forget it? The days on the river, nights by the fire.
That's when I became pregnant with Myron.
Trip is perfect.
Oh my god, he really hates them.
Yeah, she reminds me of Caroline in this episode.
Really?
Yeah, when she's like always thinking of the children.
Yeah, I mean, I guess a mother will see through all of the, see past all of their flaws.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just, I don't know. I think Caroline wouldn't put up with this. Not at all. So Almanzo is exhausted with the kids, and when he wakes up, he goes to put a slipper on. It's full of honey. Hilarious, right?
That was kind of gross.
And, you know, honey is kind of expensive, so, I mean, I'm sure mm-hmm. they had their own beehive. So he puts them to work. He says, if you're going to be doing something, I'm going to leave you alone for the day. And, you know, Aunt Laura and I are going into town, and he's going to day drink all day or something like that because he just needs to do something that is not, you know, on the homestead. So he's going to leave them with a they have to accomplish something. So they're going to build a treehouse. Which
quotation marks.
Yeah. It's kind of, what a weird thing to kind of give. It's a weird kind of task to give somebody to kids who grew up in the city, but you know, so we get to see Charles here. Charles is giving a hand to Almanzo. Let me talk a little bit about the kids.
Not for the hand, Charles.
No problem. Those little nephews of yours getting underfoot?
Oh, no. I had a rough time with them yesterday, but then I just realized it was excess energy.
Is that what it is, huh?
Yeah, but I figured out a way to harness it.
Well, if you figured that out, Almanzo, you're a genius.
Well, you just have to be a little smarter than they are, that's all.
You're in big trouble.
Yeah.
See you later.
All right.
And that's pretty much Charles. We get to see him one more time. That's
yeah,
it.
Just for honey's getting underfoot.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. So what do we have? We have the boys walking with them. And wait, I think I might be at the wrong part of the scene here. Oh, no, I'm not. They want to paint the treehouse before they show it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they trample Laura's vegetables. Like, these kids are, they're doing some things that just dopey kids do. And then they're doing things that are just genuinely destructive. But yeah, like, they ruined all of Laura's vegetables. You see all the cabbage just kind of destroyed. And Royal gets to speak his mind a little bit in the next scene, which I thought was kind of interesting. It's a little bit blunt.
Yeah. And
it also gave me the idea that they're camping out the whole time. Right?
Yeah.
This is
I don't know where they go, like, yeah, during the days besides the river.
And how do they get back? I really am kind of curious if people really would go on these type of strange vacations. And the amount of gear that they must be lugging around has to be pretty excessive.
Wouldn't they just go to a boarding house for a few days, too?
Go upstairs of Caroline's, rent a room.
Yeah.
You know, you can get your dinner and breakfast, everything. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird thing.
Royal.
Yes, my love.
I just had a horrible thought.
What?
Well, I suddenly thought that Almanzo might yell at the boys.
Well, what's so horrible about that?
Royal.
No, I mean it. I mean, this whole business of never saying no is your idea.
I've read it in a book.
It was probably written by someone who never had a child.
And that's true. Let's be real here.
Well, that's nonsense. Well, certainly our boys are rambunctious, but they're boys. And you must admit they are creative. Why, they paint, they sing, they...
Millie, painting all the windows in the living room black is not my idea of art.
Now, at this point, I was really looking into who this guy was. He passed away in 2017. But he sounds like, I swear I know his voice from somewhere. He sounds like an announcer. Have you ever heard his voice? He just sounds like someone. I just can't place it. But I looked it up. He's done no voiceover work that I can find.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of him.
He really does sound like someone, though. So if somebody's listening to the show and you happen to know what Woody Ine has done, I'd appreciate it.
And if I'd sung the kind of songs they do when I was a boy, I would have had my mouth washed out with soap.
If you felt this way about it, why didn't you ever say anything?
Because it's hard to talk with your son choking you. I mean, if God had never wanted us to say no to our children, he would have never invented the word.
You're raising your voice, Royal.
Bears.
I'm sorry, my love. Look, we've only got a few days left. Let's not waste them arguing, all right?
All right.
Throw her in the river. I wouldn't be able to handle this. So,
me neither.
They're just a little too not, you know... It's like, let's not discuss anything that is important.
Yeah, they don't seem like the perfect couple type.
No. They seem completely incompatible. Mm. So, yeah, so it's kind of interesting that, you know, that Royal feels this way and the children are being raised another way. So we find out what the the treehouse is, which it took me a moment to kind of figure it out. I don't think it's the best shot in the episode, personally.
Yeah, I had to go back and rewatch it for a second.
Yeah, like I kind of didn't get it because Almanzo goes outside and there's just a structure with a hole in it, and you're thinking, oh, that looks like a toilet, I guess. Mm. And then they show, and after you realize what they did is they somehow raise the outside of the outhouse up into the tree.
Two 10 or 11 year old boys did that.
Right, and two kids that weigh about 80 pounds each did that, but two full-grown men who are...
Can barely bring it down.
Yeah, which is kind of a funny scene. Charles is, Charles finds that it's kind of humorous.
I tell you, I gotta hand it to those nephews of yours. They sure are inventive. How in the world they got this up a tree?
You know, I'm completely at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do.
You tried reasoning with him.
Yeah.
You're just going to have to be firm with him. Show him who's boss.
Try that, too.
I don't know what to tell you then, but you better think of something. You're not going to have a house left to live in.
Man, you better get cleaned up for church.
Yeah, me too.
Listen, you go ahead. I'll take care of this thing later.
All right. You got to save that rope. You may want to tie up your nephews.
See, Laura would do it.
Yeah, she would.
With Ma's help, yeah. At this point, I mean, I have nephews and nieces, and I'm not going to say I'm a strict person. I'm really just not. But I can definitely, you know, I get to the end of my rope, and it's just kind of, all right, let's calm down now.
Yeah, my nephew's almost 4, so he hasn't done anything too bad yet.
Oh, my God, yeah. Just wait until he borrows your car.
Yeah.
So what do we have? I'm going to go right to church. They make the boys promise to behave in church, and they think, oh, it's going to be totally fine. I just want you to listen very closely to Reverend Alden.
We have a couple of young visitors. Laura and Almanzo Wilder have...
Now, if I listen to it, it sounds like he's saying Almanzo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm going to just, I'm going to play it. I want to cue it precisely, so just
And listen. This is a very short church scene.
Yeah.
We have a couple of young visitors. Laura and Almanzo Wilder have their nephew staying with them, Myron and Rupert. Hope you boys are having a good time.
And that's awesome. So it's just like the worst. And I just can't believe that they would do that in the church.
I know. And that wasn't even, it didn't even seem real.
No, it probably wasn't. But it's definitely in line with them. So we go back almost immediately to the, on the lake, which is just one of those kind of...
It's always that lake, I think, too.
Yeah, just, I'm not comfortable with on this thing. Like, you guys are going to go off course and end up, I don't know where you're going to be.
Let's do it again next year. Maybe for a whole week. What do you say?
Well, I wish we could.
We can.
Not really.
Why?
Well, it's just that...
Just that what?
Oh, I know I should have told you before, but I wanted to pick just the right moment. I'm going to have a baby.
And we hear Royal jump overboard.
Yeah, the way he fell off, like, where did he go?
I don't know. It's good luck, you know. Then I was thinking, is it possible that this platform is tied to something and they just lay on it and it kind of just rocks in the current?
I don't know. It could have been like a jacuzzi or something.
They're well off. So why are they on this, you know, this creek vacation thing? It's kind of odd. So
yeah, I would get bored of that pretty quick.
Say that again?
I would get bored of that pretty quick.
Yeah, it's kind of, well, I guess sometimes people would go on vacation to literally do nothing. Maybe that's very possible.
I mean, I would.
So they go on a picnic. The boys, of course, are complaining about it. And Laura's just saying, why don't you guys go explore into lunch? And they say, fine. And we have one of them running and screaming. Here we go.
You fell in the lake.
Rupert.
We were just looking at the lake and you fell in.
Rupert, remember what I told you about Crying Wolf now.
Uncle Monzo, he's gonna drown.
Manly, this is no joke.
Oh, boy. They run up. They see the shoe is floating in the creek.
Yeah, they couldn't have at least put it upside down.
Right, right. And Laura's in her full dress, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And here she goes. You can listen to her big splash. So, basically... Laura says, kill them, right?
So, yeah, their laughs are so obnoxious in this scene.
It is.
Hey, Myron, you nearly scared your Aunt Laura and I to death. Now, what are you thinking about, boy? What are you thinking about?
It's impossible to scare someone to death.
Oh, I'm just kidding. Kids like this will make you a better parent, though. Because when you have your own that are not demonic, you have ones who are just, you know, a lot more normal. Laura comes up with one of these big gallons of, one of these big things of water, like the kind in stone soup that she would just carry around when she was pregnant. And she is getting ready to give it to them.
To do anything like that ever again.
And they're covered in water, and so it's just kind of interesting that.
Yeah, Monzo's smile was kind of creepy right there.
Yeah, it's kind of like finally.
Yeah.
So we're at dinner time now. Everybody's kind of dried off and they're all eating, sitting around the table. And you think everything's kind of going normal a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Bigger potato. They're both exactly the same size. See, his is bigger. Give it back.
Give it back, Myron. Stop that, boys!
Stop it! Oh, you're hurting me!
Where are you taking us? You're going to bed without any dinner.
I don't care!
So, yeah, Laura's finally taking charge here. Laura's had it. She's sick of it.
Yes, you can.
He faints so fast.
Yeah. So this is where Laura actually says something a little bit mean to them.
Why? Oh, he's not. You just can't leave me like this.
Yes, I can. Watch me.
Aunt Laura, don't you like children?
Well, of course. I love children, Myron. I just don't like you. Sleep tight, boys.
That was very much like Laura in season, four.
That point, I would do the same thing.
Yeah, of course. It's like, I hate you. I've had enough. So we also learn what they need is, here we go. It's a little bit of the aftermath after Laura comes down.
Oh, he's fine.
He didn't faint?
Of course he did. He had a speedy recovery. You know what those boys need? A little good old-fashioned discipline.
You know, darling, it did my heart good today when you dumped that bucket of water on those two.
So I think that stuff like that is really kind of funny. We have the boys are just kind of, they get caught building a fire. They're told not to build a fire. Then they get a bucket of water dumped on them again.
Yep.
We get a kind of a sweet moment where Almanza thinks that he's ruining his chances of ever having children with Laura. So he goes up to her. She's reading something in front of bowls of vegetables. I'll say it's a cookbook, but I'm not really sure. She's just could eating an apple. Could be, yeah.
I was so excited about having the boys come to stay with us. After this, I realized you might never want children.
Sure I do. I think we should have a dozen of them. Send them all to stay with Royal and Millie for the summer.
So, you know, it's sweet still. The boys are cleaning up the barn and they find a rat trap. They put the rat trap in the outhouse and Almanza finds it one morning. And it's basically somehow that was the final straw. But we don't know exactly what happens. I mean, really, he got hit by the rat trap and it was it, you know. And the next thing we know, the Wilders are back.
Yeah.
So the boys, I don't know what, I guess maybe they were leaving it up to our imagination of what they had to do to these kids to straighten them out. But they're sitting there, and I'll just play this. They're sitting there writing, and one is a lefty.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Roy, Millie, welcome back. How's the trip?
Very nice.
Mom, how you doing?
The boys.
We got along just fine, didn't we, boys?
Yes, Aunt Laura.
Such industriousness. What are you working on?
An essay on what we did during our vacation. It was Aunt Laura's idea.
Oh.
Royal looks like, would you hit him with chains?
Oh.
Like, it's like insane. They've never seen their kids act like this.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. We have, because they were such good kids, Royal gives them each a silver dollar, basically rewarding them for bad behavior, really.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, is whenever he reads the essay, if he gets it back.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So here's our goodbyes, basically. We're sitting in Caroline's, I think it's Caroline's, and we're just kind of getting a little bit of an overview of how everybody feels about this little visit.
I hate to admit it, but I have never seen the boys so well behaved.
Well, Laura has a way with them, all right.
Yes, and we certainly hate to see them go.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Laura looks almost evil at this point.
Yeah, her sarcasm in this episode cracks me up.
Yeah, but this particular scene, she's almost like, yeah, it's like syrupy almost.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, boys, we're ready to go. Oh, boys, what do you say to Almanzo and Laura?
Thanks for a fun, wonderful time.
You're welcome.
Thanks again, baby. Roy, pleasure.
Bye-bye, Roy.
Bye.
Again, this is a visual. They went to go look at the horses, and they basically, took the harness off of the wagon.
Yeah.
So when,
I don't know how they knew how to do that.
Right, they're like city boys. Thing is, that's so hilarious, is they could have killed the guy. So
yeah, I know.
It's, you know, these, it's so, like, they're horrible. These are horrible, horrible little kids. And not for one second do I think that they're good.
No.
So after they do that, we get a little bit of a voiceover from Laura.
I know it's hard to believe, but 20 years later, Rupert had grown up to be a doctor, and Myron became a minister. And some folks don't believe in miracles.
Hilarious. So, but Dottie, thank you very much for getting together for this episode of Walnut Grovecast.
Thank you.
And you have an Instagram as well, right?
I do. I have a Little House account, and it's my LHOTP.
Mm-hmm. And what type of stuff do you post on there?
Right now I'm posting stuff from when I went to the Little House reunion.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of taking a while to post, so.
Yeah, I mean, you probably took a billion photos as well.
Yeah.
How was that? What were the highlights that you took home with that, from that?
I think one of my favorite parts was when I met Dave Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
Before I even said anything at his table, he's like, "You're Dottie, right?"
Really?
Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, I've seen you on the Facebook group." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's me."
Yeah, David's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He really, you know, it's weird. Dave did not want to do the interview with me. And I threw out that I'm not a, I threw my resume at him to let him know, like, you know, I'm not going to go about it in the way that maybe he thinks I'll go about it. And I don't know, I got him on the phone and we spent like an hour just talking about anything but Little House on the Prairie. So
yeah, I listened to pretty much every interview before the reunion.
Yeah. Thank you. And yeah, it was really a nice pleasure that I had the opportunity to speak to so many people. You know, it was a really, really big honor to get to speak to just everybody. I mean, it's and there's still more to come, you know. Mm-hmm. And I know that the reunion's already being planned for another reunion's being planned. There's always something being planned.
Yeah. And I'm also planning to go to the Cherry Blossom in April.
Oh, really? Is that in the same spot?
It's actually in Mansfield, Missouri, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it has, like, Walton's cast and Little House on the Prairie cast.
Are you a Walton's fan?
I am. I'm in the middle of season 3 at the moment.
Now, with the Waltons, I pretty much never watch the Waltons. So, but from what I know about it, I know very little about it. Does it take place during the Depression?
It does.
Hmm. I mean, it's a fascinating period of time to me. I'm a big fan of 19th century, but I'm also a big fan of early 20th century.
So, oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if it would be something that, you know, I could pull myself away from a modern TV show and maybe watch that. But do you recommend, like, Walton's being approached? I mean, approaching the Waltons in the same way that Little House. I mean, because I wouldn't recommend, if somebody has no interest or they don't know anything about Little House on the Prairie, I don't recommend that they start on that first episode. I recommend that they, you know, watch a couple of, you know, good ones. Like, you don't want them to start on, like, Sylvia, you know? It's like, it's you're going to walk away with a bad feeling. You're going to think, you know, it's just misery. So, and a lot of it is, that's why. But would you recommend starting with the Waltons from the beginning, or do you think that there's a few episodes that...
I've tried to skip around, but mm-hmm. I didn't really understand what was happening. So I would probably start with the beginning.
Is it a similar formula to Little House?
It's more based on family and, like, the whole family. So
it's a big family, right, that they have? Mm-hmm.
Hmm. They have seven.
So I know there's John Boy. It's about all I know.
Yeah.
But I think I'm going to look into it. You know, it's be interesting. We could do the Waltons podcast.
I've actually thought about that, like, while watching episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's always a podcast to be done on these shows. Mm-hmm. You know, the Mork and Mindy podcast. No, the reason why I mentioned Mork and Mindy is when I was just looking up Woody Ennie, he was apparently on an episode of the pilot episode of Mork and Mindy. He was a prosecutor.
Oh,
guy was on everything. The guy was pretty just much. He was an INS agent in Taxi, and he was on Starsky and Hutch and Barnaby Jones and all types of stuff. But anyway, so Dottie, I want to thank you again for getting, you know, together with me tonight. I know that you said you were a little bit nervous, but I think you did really well. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider supporting One Up Grovecast by heading over to patreon.com/OneUpGrovecast. Any support is appreciated.